All right, good morning. Today's daf is Dalet in Bechoros. We start with our new Mishnah. Just one last point I'm going to make about yesterday's daf, really the first two dafim. The Mishnah talked about the Ptur, the exemption from Petur Chamor. So anytime that Yad Nachri has any type of hand in the animal, and as we discussed, the halach is like Rav Huna, the halach is like Rav Yochanan, meaning even if he owns the ear of the animal, any amount of the animal is going to create a Ptur, an exemption, so that that which comes out, the firstborn that comes out, is going to be exempt from the Kedushas Bechor. Now, that's true by Bechor Behemah Tahara and by Bechor Behemah Tameh as well. One of the big issues, which I always kind of alluded to, but however, we never discussed straight out, is how are you buying and selling fetuses, right? We have a general machlokas throughout all Shas about a davish lo bala olam. How you can't buy and sell something that's not in this world. Right, so in other words, I know it's big business in America. American law, by the way, they do transactions with Darvish Lo Bala Olam. That's the whole future commodity. It's all predicated on, you know, buying and selling crops that aren't here yet. And in American law, that's totally fine. It's totally acceptable. But the halacha is not like that. Not unequivocally. Let's not say fundamentally. But the principle is that in Adamach, the Davish Allah Balolam, you can't make a king on something that doesn't come into the world. Now, just you should know that it's a machlokas tanaim, meaning Rameir says that you can be Machn the Davish Allah Balolam, but that's not the position we take. We don't take the Rameir position. We normally follow like the Chachamim. So, how does it work? Meaning, how are we having a discussion for the past 2 days about making a king on something that is Lo Balolam that's not in this world? You're talking about buying fetuses or, you know, giving over the animal to a non Jew and saying, okay, we'll go splits on the fetuses. But they're not here yet. So Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by that. Right? And it's the same Tosfos I quoted yesterday. That Tosfos on Gimel Amud Beis. So Ode Perush Rabbeinu Tam. It's almost all the way down in that Tosfos. It's like the last third of Tosfos, the last quarter of Tosfos. Ode Perush Rabbeinu Tam. Rav Meir Shaya Makna Ozen Ovi Kochavim. I'm sorry, excuse me. Ozen uber lo v'kochavim hava davish lo bala olam ela hayamakne behema li azne ubar. So, Rabbeinu Tam circumvents the issue by saying like this. Do you know how it was structured? Do you know how the transaction was structured? It was that the kinyan was actually going on the mother itself, meaning the kinyan was not going on the uber, on the fetus, but it was going on the mother itself. And Ela Hayamakna Behema Li Azne Ubar. He says it's precedented, it's not that crazy. Kamo deko leperosav. Let's say I want to buy a crop, a future crop. So how do you do it in Halacha? The crop hasn't come yet, it's Davish Labala Olam. So what you do is you make a kinyan on the tree, and then the peros, the products that come off the tree will therefore be yours, because you have an acquisition of the tree. So here too, Rabbeinu Tam says same thing over here. That's what's been going on throughout the whole discussion, where you made a kinyan on the animal, on the mother, and by dint of that kinyan, you're now going to get all the, or not you, but the guy is going to get now a piece of the ubar. Dekol aperosav, v'ta'a inish va'amar, azne ubar hayamakne kamo peros dekol. And then Rabbeinu Tam says something brilliant, which is, now you understand the difference between us and the Gemara. Meaning, in the Gemara, you remember the end of yesterday's daf? The Gemara says, that wasn't good. Meaning, what Rav Mari did was no good. And in fact, Rav Mari lost his entire flock because he created an exemption of his firstborns from Kedushas Bechor. And Rabbeinu Tam says, and we do create an exemption. And Rabbeinu Tam says, and what? Meaning, we seem to be going against the Gemara. And Rabbeinu Tam says, remember, we talked about this at the end of yesterday's daf. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, there's a difference. Because we actually create an exemption with the mother. Meaning we sell part of the mother to a non-Jew. That's not what Rav Mari did. Rav Mari actually sold part of the ubar to a non-Jew. And Rabbeinu Tam says, that's the difference. It makes a big difference. Because we who sell part of the mother, so that's a perfectly legal exemption. Meaning, okay, part of the animal now is owned by a non-Jew. And no one's going to get confused by that. Meaning everyone understands. Jew and non-Jew have partnership in this animal. But when it comes to what Rav Mari did, Rav Mari actually made a kinyan in the ubar, on the actual fetus itself. And Rabbeinu Tam says, that's trickier. Meaning, and people don't know how to do that. Rabbeinu Tam actually writes, That will lead to a takala. Because people will see what Rav Mari is doing. He's making a transaction on the fetus, and everyone's looking around and saying, what? How did that happen? And people don't understand that. No. The mechanism in which you do that is actually to make a kinyan on the mother for the fetus. It's like buying a tree for the fruit. And it's a subtle difference, and people don't understand those subtleties. But what we do is we actually make a kinyan on the mother itself, and that no one's going to be mistaken. And by the way, the Shulchan Aruch says that's what we do. Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch writes we should sell off part of our animal to a non-Jew. Right? It's, again, it's just a small amount, just the ear of the animal to a non-Jew, and actually create an exemption from Kedushas Bechor. And by doing so, you save yourself a lot of headache and a lot of problems, because now the firstborn does not have Kedushas Bechor. Had to have Kedushas Bechor, you would have to wait till it gets a blemish and then, right, give it to a Kohen and have him eat it with a blemish. And, right, the Shulchan Aruch says it's really the preferred way is to avoid the Kedushas Bechor by selling part of the mother to a non-Jew. Okay, let's continue. Kohanim v'Leviim p'turim mikal v'chomer. Right, the Mishnah on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, and today's daf, as we pointed out, is daf Dalid. Kohanim v'Leviim are exempt through a kal v'chomer. Im patru es shel Yisrael b'midbar dinu shiftu shel atzman. Look, the kal v'chomer is very straightforward. In the midbar, they patered that of the Yisrael. So if they have the ability to pater others, they're certainly pater themselves. Now, that's the kal v'chomer is great. The problem is, what's the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is talking about people. Mishnah is talking about animals, even in animals. Mishnah is talking about behemoth tahora, kosher animals, behemoth tamei non. Meaning, simply put, what's the Mishnah talking about? Now, as Rashi points out on the Mishnah here is placed in the first parak of Bechorah. So you know what that sounds like? It sounds like Petr. Got it. Save and abuse. Mishnah is talking about Petr Chamor. Because that's the first parak. The first parak is about Petr Chamor. Minimal damage. Thank you. The Mishnah is talking about Petr Chamor. So Rashi writes back in the Mishnah, Kasagadacha, Petr Chamor Kai. It sounds like we're talking about Petr Chamor. So the Gemara says, what? Inu Patre? So now I don't understand. You mean that the Levim actually exempt the animal? That's not how it works. Adam Pater, Behema Patra. No. Exemptions are from people to people, and exemptions are from animal to animal. Dichsiv, and the Gemara says, you don't need to go that far in order to find that out. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Kachas Levim, Tachas Bechor, Bevnei Yisrael. As Behema Salavim, Tachas Behem Tam. It couldn't be any clearer from the pasuk that the Levi creates an exemption for Bechor Yisrael, meaning person to person. And the animal of the Levi creates an exemption for animals of Yisrael, animal to animal. So clearly the Mishnah, when the Mishnah is talking about a Petur, it's not talking about the Levi himself creating an exemption for the animals of the Jews. Okay. So Amar Abaye, so two basic approaches in our Mishnah. We start off with Abaye. Hachi Kamar. Kohanim v'Levim Peturim behemtam mikavachomer. The Kohanim and Leviim create an exemption for animals based on a kal v'chomer. Their animals are exempt through a kal v'chomer. Im ifkiu behemtam shel Leviim behemah shel Yisrael b'midbar dinu shetafkia eshel atzman. Meaning, according to Abaye, the whole Mishnah is just talking about animals. It's just a word on animals. Our animals are exempting their animals in the desert, so therefore their animals for sure are going to be exempt. Okay, Amalei Rava, patru, right? Take out the word inu. V'ha patru katani. So, Rava says to Abaye, you read the Mishnah again, and you could do it. It doesn't sound like we're talking about animals. It sounds like we're talking about people. Meaning, read the Mishnah. Kohanim v'Leviim piturim. They're exempt. Sounds like we're talking about the person, not the animal. V'od. And, we'll go one step further. Im Isa afilu mi bechor behema tahara nifteru. And if this kal v'chomer is, as you say, it's such a good kal v'chomer, which it is, by the way, it's an excellent kal v'chomer. If you're exempting others with your either person or animal, you for sure, you yourself for sure should be exempt. So it's a really good kavachomer. But if the kavachomer is so good, so why are we limiting the kavachomer? It should apply to everything, including the animals of the Levium. Alama Tanan. Oh, okay, we'll get to that. Alama Tanan, however, Mishnah, lo nifteru mi bechor behema tahora. A Levi owns an animal, not a non-kosher animal, kosher animal, and it has a child, firstborn, it's going to have Kedushas Bechor. Okay? Mishnah in the second parak of Bechoros. So what happened to your wonderful Kavachomer? It was such a good Kavachomer, and meanwhile, for whatever reason, it doesn't work. The Levi's animal, firstborn animal, is going to have Kedushas Bechor, firstborn kosher animal. Ella, let me just finish the Mishnah. A Levi has a child, right? The Levi person has a firstborn child. That's exempt from Kedushas Bechor. And a firstborn donkey that's owned by a Levi, that's going to be exempt as well. So what a funny halacha. Meaning, if you're a Levi, right? You have your firstborn child will be exempt. Your firstborn donkey will be exempt. And your firstborn kosher animal will have Kedushas Bechor. Wow, that's strange. And it's so strange considering the fact that we have just enjoyed hearing such a good kavachomer from the Mishnah. Ella Maravis Rava says, so I'm going to offer now the following. Hachi Ketani. Okay, new understanding of our Mishnah. Kohanim v'levim patru hein atzman mikavachomer. Im ifku kedusha sam shal levim kedusha shal Yisrael b'midbar lo yafki o shal atzman. Okay, the Mishnah is talking about people. And that's all the Mishnah is talking about. Meaning that we know in the desert, here's what happened. There are Bechorim, or Bechoros, I never know which way to say it, female, male. I mean, we're talking about the male, obviously. Okay, so they're Bechorim in the desert, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, okay, you guys need to be redeemed. How are we going to redeem you? We're going to turn to the Levi. Right? Remember in Bamidbar and Paragimel, we'll go over the numbers in just a moment. Right? There were excess number of Bechoros, so, and there were only 22,000 Levium, so every Bechor that had a Levi, good. So in other words, you just simply redeemed the Bechor with the Levi. Good. Again, we're just talking about people. And then for those extra Bechoros, so they had to pay money. They had to pay 5 salim. For those extra 273, okay? Those extra 273 Bechoros, they had to pay money. So, and that's all the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is just talking about people. And if the Levi can pater the Bechor, the Levi himself for sure doesn't have Kedusha. Understood. Ashkechan Adam. Now, if the Mishnah is only talking about people, so but we still have one more point to cover, which is Bechor Behema Tameir, firstborn donkey, which the Mishnah tells us a Levi has a firstborn donkey, is exempt from having to be redeemed. Where did that come from? Minalan Amakra, Achpado Tifteh, Es Bechor HaAdam, Ves Bechor Behema Tameir Tifteh. We'll call it a hekesh. Okay? In other words, gzeiras hakasav, that the Torah simply equates firstborn human to firstborn non-kosher animal. It's a strange equation. Right? And it's, obviously it's only a donkey. Right? Tomorrow's daf, we'll talk about why it's only a donkey. But fine. So in other words, it's a hekesh. The two of them are connected. And since the two of them are connected, so now we are limited. Only firstborn humans of a Levi and firstborn donkeys that are owned by a Levi, they will be exempt with Kedushas Bechor. Firstborn kosher animals born to a Levi, owned by a Levi, will have an obligation of Bechor. Okay, Amale Rav Safra La'abaye. Four questions coming up. Okay, basically, let's just review two basic approaches to our Mishnah, the Abaye approach and the Rava approach. The Abaye approach is that the Kavachomer works for humans and animals. Okay? And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about both the firstborn humans and firstborn animals. That's the Abaye approach. And Rava's basic question on Abaye is, if that's such a wonderful Kavachomer, so why don't we use a Kavachomer for Bechor Behema Tahora, for kosher animals? Okay? So Rava says, no, the Mishnah is only talking about humans. The Mishnah is not talking about animals. How do we know to extend the halacha that a firstborn donkey is going to be exempt, that's owned by a Levi is going to be exempt? So that's just simply based on a hekesh. But the kal vachomer is extraordinarily limited. It only applies to actually humans. Kal vachomer, kal vachomer is fantastic.
Right.
In fact, I guess in defense of Abaye, that's Abaye says, yeah, we'll just use the same kal vachomer. But then you have to figure out some explanation for Rava. Meaning, so Rava is asking Abaye, so why don't we use it for kosher animals? Right, which Abaye didn't have an answer for.
Right.
Okay, all right. That point needs clarification. The Gemara is not gonna take that up. So question number one. According to you, Abaye, the whole reason of exemption is based on the fact that in the desert, you see that the animal of a Levi exempted the animal of a Yisrael. According to you, Abaye, so let's go back in time. Let's go take a look at all the Levim that left Egypt, and we'll basically make the following statement. If you actually owned a sheep, or I should say rather, if you actually owned a donkey, or no, I was right the first time. If you actually owned a sheep, and you create an exemption for Yisrael, so then your animals themselves are going to be exempt. But if you didn't own a sheep, so that means that you don't enjoy the kal vachomer. Your firstborn animals, your firstborn donkeys, should not be exempt from Kedushas Bechor. Meaning, question number one, and this question is just on Abaye, if your whole argument is based on kal vachomer, the only Levim that can enjoy that kal vachomer are Levim that actually owned a sheep. Okay, number one. Number two, Bein Leditcha Bein LaRava. Question number two, now we're going to broaden our question to both Abaye and Rava. Ben Chosh to Afke Lifke, Pachos Me Ben Chosh to Lo Afke Lo Lifke. Also, the kal vachomer of humans, meaning a Levi can exempt Kedushas Bechor. Now, which Levim are we talking about? So that's easy, because the Torah says that we're going to count Levim that are 1 month and older. Pekodas b'nei Levi lebeis avasam l'mishpachosam perek gimel pasuk yud dalet tes vav. Pekodas b'nei Levi lebeis avasam l'mishpachosam kol zachar mi ben chodesh v'mala tif kedein. You're counting the Levim from 1 month and above. Okay? And it comes out, the number comes out to 22,000. Okay. So, question number two. So, this power of exemption, that if you're a Levi, you can exempt the Bechor, only is enjoyed by a Levi who is a month and older. Okay? So, what if you're a Levi who was less than 1 month at the time? So, that means you didn't pater a Bechor. So, now growing up, does that mean now you don't have... You don't have this kal vachomer? You can't enjoy this kal vachomer? Ben leditcha ben l'rava ben chosh afke lifke. Pachos mi ben chosh lo afke lo lifke. Question number three. Levia lo tipaka. What if you're not a male Levi? What if you're a female Levi and you have a child? Okay? What's the halacha? The halacha is that your child does not need to be redeemed. Okay? Everyone should know that if mom's a Levi, or a bas Levi, I should say. If mom is a Levi, so then obviously once she's married and she's not marrying a Levi, she's not a Levi, but she's a bas Levi, she has a child, the child does not need pidyon haben. Okay? And that, in fact, is a halacha. We'll see later on in the Masechta, there's a little bit of, not a little bit, there is a debate about this. One of Amora's opinion is that that's only if she marries a non-Jew, oddly enough, meaning that there's no shevet that the father introduces. But that's not the accepted halacha. The accepted halacha is that this would be true even if she married a Yisrael, her child will be exempt from pidyon haben. So now, again, we're back to where we started. If the whole basis of exemption is based on a kal vachomer, so that kal vachomer is only for those Levim who exempted Yisrael. Who are those Levim? Male. Okay, so the female shouldn't enjoy the kal vachomer. So Levi Alotifka Alama Amar Avada Brava Levi Shialda Bana Patam Mechamishalayim. So the Gemara says Halokasha. The Gemara says, well, question number three, strike from the record. Halokasha Kedemar Bereid Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava Damar Petarechem BePetarechem Tal Rechmana. No, because Kedusha is based on Petarechem, the first one that comes out, and so since the Kedusha's Bechor is based on Petarechem, so obviously if she's a Levia, so she or right she. It's Petarecha, meaning it's the first one that comes out of her. So take question number three, strike it from the record. The Gemara says that's not, question number three is not really a question. And now finally, question number four. The Aaron shalo yahaya ba'oso minyan lo lifka. Aaron himself was not in the counting. Meaning when we counted the Leviim, we counted everyone but Aaron. Now Aaron's a Levi. Now I know, of course, Aaron's a Kohen. Right? But before he was a Kohen, he was a Levi. Okay, a descendant of Levi. Not only a descendant, he was two generations after from Levi himself. Right? Levi, Yocheved, and Aaron. Okay, so he was a Levi. And he wasn't counted in that census. Now the Gemara says, first of all, how do I know that the Tanya Lama Nakud al Aaron Shebechumash? Okay, you look for Aaron in Chumash and you'll see the kudos over his name. I don't know where we are in terms of Chumash. Where's the kudos over Aaron's name? Found it. Paragimel, Pasuk Lamites. Kol Pekude Halavim Asher Pakad Moshe the Aaron. Al Pi Hashem L'Mishpachusam Kol Zachar Ben Chodesh V'Mala Shnayim Ve'Esrim Al 22,000. And if you look in Chumash over there, you will see that over Aaron's name are Nekudos. That's over Aaron's name. Okay, these Nekudos are part of Halacha Moshe Messina. It's part of the Mesorah. It's part of the tradition. And we have a basic rule. Just know this rule, that anytime you see Nekudos over a name, it basically, it's almost like in English, you know when you put parentheses, right, words in parentheses, you're basically like, it's here, but, you know, I don't know, it doesn't belong, doesn't fit, like, it's here, but it's not here. Right. So here, in the Pesukim, when it says Aaron and the dots are over the name, it's like Aaron is here but not here. What does that mean, he's here but not here? So the Gemara is telling us what that means is he wasn't part of the census. He wasn't counted as part of the minyan. And therefore, if everything is based on the Kal V'Chomer is, since you have the power to redeem others, therefore you yourself don't need a redemption. Aaron, oddly enough, Aaron didn't redeem others. Meaning as part of the census of the Leviim, Aaron wasn't counted. So he doesn't enjoy the Kal V'Chomer. So now you're telling me because he doesn't enjoy the Kal V'Chomer, so therefore he should need a redemption of all people, by the way. Aaron should need a redemption. Okay? That's bizarre. By the way, redemption for what?
Because of the Egypt.
Yeah, I'm saying, so meaning what?
He was spared in Egypt. And Hashem.
No, I understand that. But he's a Bechor?
But that's the question. Is Miriam old?
Yeah, so let me ask you the following question. Such a good question. I'm telling you, before today, I would have told you I know the answer, cold. And now, what's the order? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Yeah, so I would have done the same thing. I would have put Miriam first, I then would have put Aaron, and then I would have put Moshe. Okay? In fact, it's the base.
It gives the ages of when it passed
away. It only gives the ages. The ages that are provided for us in the Chumash are only Aaron and Moshe.
So
where does Miriam fit in?
So we have the difference between Miriam and Moshe you already have.
No. Where? Torah never tells us the age of Miriam. Never. Okay, look, before today... Aaron is 3 years older than Moshe, that we know. That's a fact. Moshe was 80, Aaron was 83. Those numbers were provided to us in the Chumash.
So you would have said that Miriam was 2 years old.
Now, if you're going to put Miriam, it's so funny, I also, like, as I was preparing the daf, I'm like, Miriam's two? If you are, now I know there's Midrashim, right? In other words, why does everyone think that? Why do I think that? Why do you think that? Because, you know, all the Midrashim say that it was Miriam who advised her parents, you know, to...
She was also a midwife.
And she was also, right, and we had the Midrashim that say that she was a midwife, meaning... There's a lot of evidence that indicates that Miriam was the oldest, followed then by Aaron, followed then by Moshe. Okay? And there's a lot of Midrashim that indicate that. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, it's the bottom Tosfos on the page, Tosfos says, not necessarily. He quotes Rashi, Perisha Kunshus, Lohava, Velo Behemtov, Shlo Yifku, Bechor Yisro, Lo Lifku, Bechor Didei, Mashma Shirotza Kemokin Lahakshas the Lolifka Bechor Satmo. The EF Shalomakin the Lahaya Aaron Bechor. Okay? Toso says to suggest that Aaron himself is the one that we're talking about, meaning the topic of discussion over here is Aaron, who needs himself to be redeemed. But Toso says you can't say that Because lo ya'arim b'chor, the Miriam gedola mimenu gimel shanim, k'damar b'medrash. He quotes a medrash that Miriam was 3 years older than Aaron. Now that's a lovely medrash, because now that puts Miriam at the basket, at the scene of the basket, that puts Miriam 6 years of age. Okay. Precocious six, but still six. I can hear that.
It's better than two.
It's better than two. K'moshe Aaron gadol mi Moshe gimel shanim. So that is Tosus's position. But the position of Rashi that he quotes and he dismisses, right? I read over that Rashi too quickly. So Perusha Kunshish v'lo hava v'lo hu v'lo behem tav. Shelo hivkir b'cho yisol lo lifku b'chor didei. There's a Rashi that he quotes. Now, it's interesting because the Rashi that he quotes, to be fair and honest, is not found in our Rashi. Meaning if you look at Rashi on our Gemara, Rashi doesn't say this. But he quotes Rashi who says that Aaron himself was the firstborn. Okay? So again, Tosos, you'll be happy to know that Tosos rejects it out of hand. Tosos says that it's not correct. Miriam was the oldest. And the whole Gemara's discussion over here was about Aaron having his firstborn animals being redeemed.
Besides Midrashim, what else do the guys have things to base on? Both Rashi and Tosos? If Midrashim said that she was 3 years older, how could, based on what, can Rashi or Tosos refute that?
Well, because the Gemara's question, let's go back to the Gemara. Aaron shelo hayah ba'osaminyan lo lifka, meaning he shouldn't be exempt, meaning he should still be obligated. Obligated in what?
Maybe he's like one of
the I understand.
Sons.
So we're gonna, you and I are gonna provide answers, meaning his sons, meaning his animals. But if I didn't know these midrashim that Tosfos just quoted, the Gemara, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that it was talking about Aaron himself. Again, we're not gonna. Okay, it is interesting that it's out there. It's out there that Aaron may be the oldest in the family. But, again, Tosfos rejects it out of hand. Let's go back to the Gemara. So, again, let's just quickly review now. Here are our questions. Basically, Rav Safra is asking four questions, but really the third one we're going to reject. The Gemara struck the third one from the book. They're basically the following questions. If everything's based on a Kavachomer, and the Kavachomer is in the desert, you redeem the firstborn, so therefore you yourself obviously don't need to be redeemed. That's the Kal V'chomer. So question number one was according to Abaye. So this Kal V'chomer is only going to be good for those Kohanim who actually owned a sheep. Question number two, according to Rava and Abaye, what about the lady who was under a month old? He didn't redeem firstborns in the desert. Question number three, which in the Gemara's context, question number four, Aaron wasn't part of the census. If Aaron wasn't part of the census, he didn't redeem others, therefore he himself shouldn't be redeemed. Or his animal should be redeemed. However you want to go in that direction. So says the Gemara, Lolifka Detanya, Amakra, this is now the answer. Halavim, Hukshu Kolavim, Zelazah. So, okay, the answer is very simple. Meaning, we don't look at Levim individually, we look at them collectively. In other words, you're now part of Shevet Levi, and Shevet Levi is exempt. Period. It's not, yes, the Kal V'chomer is based on the fact that members of Shevet Levi were able to redeem firstborn, but don't look at the individuals. Now we're going to look at Shevet Levi collectively. Shevet Levi obviously does not need to be redeemed, because you saw individually some of them were able to redeem the Bechorei Yisrael. Kohanim Inalam, so the Gemara says, okay, that's a good answer, but what about Kohanim? So the Gemara says, very simple, Kedra Vishua ben Levi, Damar Vishua ben Levi, Besim Varabah Mekomis, Nekru Kohanim Levim, Vizde Echen Mehem, Kohanim HaLevim B'nei Tzadok. 24 places in Tanakh, you're going to see that the Kohanim are referred to as Levim. Meaning, a Kohen is a Kohen, but Kohen is also a Levi. So if the Levi have power of redemption, Kohanim are part of the Levim. They also have power of redemption as well. Uladaros minalan. Okay, good. Now, next step of the argument. I now know that in the desert, the Levim have this ability of redemption. What about after the desert? So the Gemara says, that's easy. Amakrava hayuli Levim vehayu behavyasan yihu. In other words, once a Levi, always a Levi. Okay, this koach of the Levi continues.
But they're not continuous regime, because now Israel has to pay for it.
Huh?
But it's not a recurring
redemption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Levim don't redeem people nowadays. You got to pay up.
They retain their status.
Correct. No, right. Correct. In other words, the Kal V'chomer, right.
It
right.
was a one-time redemption that they did.
Correct. Correct. But the Kal V'chomer is still a good Kal V'chomer, meaning if they can redeem others, they themselves for sure don't need to be redeemed. Okay, and that
Kal V'chomer... explain why it's happening now, but he's saying that it happened in the Midbar. The fact that it remained Levim is a different status.
Okay, right. Right. In other words, right. But that status remains. That Kal V'chomer was in the desert. And now that you have that Kal V'chomer, they're given a status, and that status remains.
Yeah, the status, but not the power to...
Yeah, correct, correct. Umi Mai Debeset. Now, in the desert, so let's go over what we just learned. And we'll say it over like Rava. Every Levi in the desert had the power to redeem a Bechor. Okay, one Levi per Bechor. And we have a Hekesh that just like a Levi can redeem a Bechor... the Levi sheep can redeem the firstborn donkey of Yisrael. Okay. How do you know sheep? The Torah doesn't say sheep. You go back, the Torah quotes the pasuk earlier. The Torah just simply says, Behema. Kaches levim, tachas bechor, bibnei Yisrael, ve'es behemas levim, tachas behem tam. Animal for animal. How do you know it was a sheep? So, but the Gemara says that answer is simple. Amr of Chista, Namar Kesef Ladaros, Venamar Seladaros, Ma Kesef Hamur Ladaros, Bo Padu Ladaros, Bo Padu Loso Sha'ah, meaning just like when in the desert, how did you redeem the Bechor with money? Now, of course, we're talking about those Bechor that didn't have a Levi. In other words, if you weren't sponsored by a Levi, if you weren't redeemed by a Levi, so you paid with money. That's true for then, and it's true for all generations. So, Afse Hamur Ladaros, Bo Padu Ladaros. So just like a sheep is used for future generations to redeem a firstborn donkey, so therefore the sheep of the Levi was used to redeem the firstborn donkey of the Yisrael. The Gemara says, you're comparing money to sheep. That's not a good comparison. Malakesef shekein podim bo hekdeishos umayser sheni. Now, wait a second. Money is a universal podeh, meaning we talk about money being podeh under all circumstances. Money's podeh hektesh, money's podeh meister sheni.
Money talks.
Money's money. And so I understand how money was used now and money was used back then. But sheep is such a novelty. Meaning the Torah says that a sheep can be used to transfer the kedusha of the firstborn donkey. But that's not intuitive. So the Gemara says, "Elam akrach pado tiftez b'chor adam v'sborchor behema tamei tiftez ma b'chor adam lo chalak tamei l'doros ben lo sosha b'kesef af behema tamei lo tel chlok bo ben l'doros ben lo sosha b'seh hekesh." Meaning that just like money is going to be the method of redemption for firstborn, so too sheep is the method of redemption for firstborn donkey. So when the Torah says that the animals of Levim are used to redeem the firstborn of Bnei Yisrael, it means firstborn, it means sheep. The animal in question is sheep. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Se echad shel ben Levi, pater kama pitrei chamorim Yisrael. Now look, there are a lot of Jews, and there are not that many Levim. Okay? 22,000 Levim were counted, and that's, I understand there's more, because that's only the male Levim that are a month and above. But in other words, not a lot of Levim, a lot of Yisroel. Now, think about it. Every donkey that's owned by a Yisroel at the time of the desert is going to be redeemed by sheep of Levim. So you mean to tell me that there's going to be one sheep for every donkey owned by Yisroel? So Rabbi Chanina says, and again, we're doing a lot of speculation, I know. But Rabbi Chanina says, nah. And you know what it is? With that one sheep, you could redeem multiple donkeys. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Teda, Sharei Mana, Kasav Otvin Ba'adam, V'la Mana Otvin Be'behema. And before the Gemara says no, the Gemara says, Abaye supports this thesis. And Abaye says, yeah, you see, that's true. Because when it came to redeeming humans, it was a one-to-one ratio. One Levi for every Bechor. And then obviously there were more Bechor than there were Levi. 273 more Bechor than there was Levi, so they needed to redeem with money. But at least you see that with a when it comes to humans, it was one to one.
Why is it one to one?
So the basic assumption is that, right, you're redeeming a bechor has a value of one human. Okay, so one to one, meaning I'm only going to be able to redeem myself with one Levi. But lottery. Rashi says they did it with lottery. So
when you say that the Levi were redeeming the donkeys for the donkey of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. So if they want to redeem it, they would give it to whom?
No, in other words, nobody gave anything, meaning that the kedusha of their donkey just transferred over to the sheep.
No, but what is the idea of redeeming the donkey? You have to give, if you have a donkey firstborn, you have to give it to Cohen, right?
No, you have to redeem it. And redeem it with a sheep, and then give the sheep over to a Cohen.
Right.
But right, fine.
You would give to whom? To themselves?
Good question. I'm not sure.
Everything would go to like three Cohen by the time.
No. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It's a very good question. Okay. Unclear. So anyway, so this is, and Abaye says, and you see when it comes to the animals, the Torah doesn't do any accounting. Meaning the Torah just simply says, yeah, the sheep of the Levim are going to redeem the firstborn of the donkeys. And there's no accounting done in the Torah. I like that thesis. I like the theory that it was one sheep for multiple donkeys. So the Gemara says, "Mimai dema lo havin afishlu behemas tuva." So the Gemara says, well, again, we're speculating now, but the Gemara says, maybe they didn't have a lot of animals. Maybe it was one sheep per donkey. So lo sakadacha. Lo sakadacha. The Gemara says, no, don't think that. Dichsevu mikna rav hayalav ne ruven ilvnei God. Because you get to the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and you see that Reuven and God had a lot of flock. Now, it's interesting, by the way, you could have just simply said that flock here means sheep. Yeah, sheep, goat.
No, but when Israel gets over the Midianim,
yeah.
When you count the number of things that they got, the donkeys were a lot less than sheep.
Okay, fine. And Dilma, if you l'hachib shutim d'levim, havu kaim l'bahad b'chor Yisrael. So the Gemara says, still, I could still reject the thesis, the theory, because look, what's getting redeemed? Not every donkey, firstborn donkeys. So you could make an argument that there was one sheep for every firstborn donkey. You can't make that argument. So the Gemara says, look, we could speculate all day, and we really don't know. But look back at the psukim, because the psukim indicate that it was one seh for multiple donkeys. The pasuk says that the es behemas halavim, the animal of the Levi, tachas behemtam, in exchange for their animals, singular to plural. Behema achas, tachas behemas harbe, behema, behema rab. But now the Gemara says, first of all, behema is one of those words where it could be used both in the singular and in the plural. Okay? Like sheep. Right? There's no sheeps. Just sheep. So maybe behema here means behema rab. Gemara says that would have been fine had the Torah been consistent and said sheep, sheep, but behema, behema. But it says behema and then it shifts to behemtam. My behema tachas behemtam shemamina chad pater tuva. One exempted a lot. Amar Rav Avanamitanino for the bopamim harbe. Okay, I learned the same thing. You can redeem multiple donkeys with one sheep. Rabbi Chanina, time of the Masitza Mefarash, Vahachi Kamamai, time of Poda Bapamim Harbei. And now what Rabbi Chanina is providing for us is really shot in the Mishnah. That's all he's doing. Meaning, we're going to get to a Mishnah, Daf Tes, and the Mishnah says that you could take one sheep and you could redeem multiple donkeys with that one sheep. In other words, you own a sheep,
right. And
you say, here's my firstborn donkey, here's my firstborn donkey. You have a whole flock of donkeys. So for every firstborn donkey, you can redeem it on a sheep. And now what we're learning, and now what you're learning is that you can actually redeem more than one donkey onto one sheep. And now the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Because historically in the desert, it was multiple donkeys on one sheep.
Sorry, when you have the first donkey you redeem, you say you have 10 donkeys that you want to redeem, right? The first donkey that you redeem, they say it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the Levi or Cohen.
It's a vehicle.
You take somebody's property and say, I'm going to take this and I'm going to have the second one also redeemed.
Because
this is redeemed, that's it.
Because generally speaking, the simple answer. Generally speaking, when we talk about redemption, you're talking about dollar for dollar.
Right.
Right. In humans, we're talking about one human for another human. Okay. In the sheep donkey, we don't look at an equation. Right. Because, if you think about
that, you give it to the coin,
meaning
right?
that there's a certain amount of sanctity, and I keep using that word, it's probably not the right word, but it's dedicated. That firstborn donkey is dedicated.
Right.
You can't touch it.
Right, so it has to go.
It has to be redeemed. It has to be there. There has
like
to be.
Bechor, it has to be.
Correct.
Like
correct.
Bechor.
Correct.
So Bechor doesn't belong to the person.
Huh?
Bechor ultimately belongs to the coin.
Correct. And you redeem it.
So why? How can you say I'm going to redeem this one? As soon as you redeem that one, this Bechor is not doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the coin. So I could take it again and say I'm going to do the second one.
Because it hasn't been filled up, meaning because you're assuming that once you take that sheep. And you've dedicated it now, and you've used it as a redemption, that's it.
Yeah.
It can absorb more. Because this redemption...
It belongs to you. It doesn't belong to you.
I understand. But it can absorb more. Okay? Perhaps I'm not doing a good job explaining it.
You can buy the sheep back from the coin and use it again.
Yeah, I'm saying, right. The sheep, you give it to the coin. The coin does whatever he wants with it. Okay. Pami marbe mishum de'se'echa shel ben levi poter kama pitcher chamom shel yisrael. And that's it, meaning... What Rabbi Hanin is providing for us is just now an understanding of the halacha. Why is the halacha that I can redeem multiple donkeys onto one sheep? Because that's what happened in the desert. In the desert, they redeemed the animals of the Levim, i.e. the Seh, redeemed multiple donkeys of the Bnei Yisrael. Itmar. And we finish today's daf with a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. A historical machlokus. I know the Gemara sometimes says, my dahava hava, meaning this is history. And we like history. We have nothing against history. Right? As I get older, I like history more and more. Wasn't the best student of history when I was younger, but now I'm beginning to appreciate it. But the Gemara says, from a halachic standpoint, like it's not usually the kind of thing that we debate in halacha, and for reasons which I don't fully understand, we're going to debate it now. We're going to debate the following. Kitchu Bechoros Bemidbar. Look, here's our known points before we start with the Gemara. We left Egypt. Now, the Bechorim were supposed to be killed in Egypt. Right? Everyone know the story? I think so. Right? So we shechted the Karm Pesach, we took the blood, so we put it on the mashkof, we put it on the lentil, Ba'ashtei HaMezuzos, and also on the two side posts. And so the Malach HaMavis bypassed all the Bechor. So now every firstborn that left Egypt has Kedusha, right? God says basically they're mine. Okay, so we were saved. So we know this is a given, that every Bechor that left Egypt has Kedusha's Bechor. Okay, and then we're talking about people, we're talking about animals. Okay, there's this idea of Bechor. Good. Now we go into Eretz Yisrael. And we know it's the same thing, meaning that once we go into Eretz Yisrael, every firstborn born in Eretz Yisrael is going to have Kedusha's Bechor. Okay, and we'll quote the Pesukim in just a moment. Okay, but we had a stopover in the desert. Okay, and it wasn't a day, and it wasn't 2 days. 40-year stopover. So there's this like time that we're, for 40 years, we're in the desert, and people died in the desert, and people were born in the desert. And here's the question, and it's such a simple question. So if you were firstborn in the desert, not one who left Egypt, not one who was born in Israel, but in that 40-year layover in the desert, do you have Kedusha's Bechor? So the answer of why not is because, and we'll quote the Pasuk in just a moment, Torah sounds like when you enter into Israel, we're gonna have Kedusha's Bechor. Now it sounds like from beforehand you didn't. Okay. So it's a machlok. I'm saying it's gonna be a machlok, but I'm just presenting first of all, I'm giving you your here's what we know for sure, here's what we know for sure. What about in the middle? So, Itmar, Rav Yochanan Amar, Kitchu Bechoros Bemidbar. So Rav Yochanan takes a position which I think would be a little bit intuitive, although once you see the Pesukim, you may favor Reish Lakish. But Rav Yochanan says that anyone born in the desert is going to have Kedushas Bechor. Okay. Reish Lakish Amar, Lo Kitchu Bechoros Bemidbar. And Reish Lakish takes a contrarian position, which is no. No, no, if you're born in the desert for those 40 years, you do not have Kedushas Bechor. Rav Yochanan Amar Kitchu Bechoros Bemidbar, Rechman Amar Liktashu Kedichsiv Kadesh Liko Bechor. So Rav Yochanan's argument is going to be presented first and foremost with a Pasuk in Parshas Bo. And the Pasuk says Kadesh Liko Bechor, meaning from this point forward, any firstborn is going to have Kedusha.
That's it.
Done. Reish Lakish Amar Lo Kitchu Bechoros Bemidbar Kedichsiv Ayakiv Yacha. And Reish Lakish says, okay, don't go anywhere. Don't move. Stay in Parshas Bo. Right? And the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, Vehaya kiviyacha. And when you go and you get to Eretz Yisrael, that... Good. Well, look, we're going to debate it, and they're going to debate it. But in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'Emor, Kadesh li kol b'chor peto kol rechem b'nei Yisrael ba'adama b'meim alihu. And then you go one more paragraph forward. Ve'ayaki v'yachah Hashem al Eretz Kanin kasher nishba l'cha l'av asecha v'nasan alach v'ha'avarta kol peto rechem l'Hashem. Every firstborn is going to be God's. Chol peto sheger b'heim asher yelacha hazecharim l'Hashem. Firstborn males are going to go to God. It sounds like the Torah frames it all of Hayaki V'yacha when you get to Eretz Yisrael. Uksiv Basrei V'avarta Mechlad Demikar Lo Kadosh. Good. That's the Machlokis, and now the Gemara is going to analyze. Eisvei. Eisvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Ashalo Hukama Mishkan Hayu Bamos Mutaros. V'avoda Bebechoros. Okay? Mishnah Zvachim should be somewhere in our memory banks. Okay? Hopefully, right, in a more recent place. The Mishnah in Zvachim says that before the Mishkan was erected in the desert, so there was karbanos. People brought karbanos. Who did the avoda? And the becharos. Becharos, right? They were the priests. Amar le ba'otan shiyatsu mimitzrayim. Okay, good. Good, so you're only talking about a one-year period in the desert.
But is that likely? The thing is that those before they were in Egypt already, they had 40 years, most of them had died because of the...
No, hold on. Hold on a second, Ben, I don't understand you. Ashalo hukama Mishkan, we're talking about the Mishkan over here. Mishkan was set up...
The that they had in Eretz Yisrael before they had the...
You're right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
No,
I'm now with you. I'm on board.
And the thing was that, you know, because of Chet Tamaraglim, people between the Jokers everybody died within 40 okay. year window. So how could those before it survive? Would have been a very small number.
Okay. Let me come back to that.
But they were new before.
No, but they didn't. They didn't have kedusha according to. He's right. He's right. I'm stuck.
But did they actually do any service the bechor even from Mitzrayim? Because as soon as they came out, there was Chet Egel first, then Mishkan, right? Not Mishkan first.
I mean, unless I'm right. Meaning, the Mishkan over here is... I thought the Mishkan was the Mishkan in the desert.
No, it's saying Bamot. It's saying Bamot.
Okay.
The Bamot's away in the
Midbar.
I don't know. That's what I assume. Okay, let's go on in the meantime.
Before the Mishkan was...
Okay, Ashalahu Mishkan, Hayu Bamot's Matar, Zavod, Bechor, Samar, Leba, Otu, Shiyot, Samar, Mitzrayim, those who left Egypt. Hachi, Nami, Mistabit, Yilot, Tema, Hachi, Ben, Chana, Bar, Me'ever, Avoda. Yeah, the Gemara sounds like I'm right. I mean, I don't... Because then the Gemara says, what are you going to have, a one-year-old do the avoda? Meaning, we're talking about the Mishkan that was set up a year into the desert.
Right.
But that wasn't the problem.
Okay, let me just go on. Okay, it sounds away. So, Shana bar me'avid avoda hu, udikar la me'kari le, hachi kakash le'em, right, b'shlamad lo pasak kedusha sayo, hanach de me'kari nam lo pak kedusha sayo. Ele'im art de pasak kedusha sayo, hanach de me'kari nam pak le kedusha sayo. So the Gemara says, look, here's the argument that we were trying to make, which is that once you leave the desert, they shouldn't have Kedusha anymore. Meaning, if the whole idea is that anyone born in the desert doesn't have Kedusha, even those that left Egypt shouldn't have Kedusha. V'idach, but the counter-argument is very simple. The Kadosh, Kadosh, the Lo Kadosh, Lo Kadosh. Look, Reish Lakish will say, anyone who left Egypt will have Kedushas Bechor, period. And they'll keep it. And anyone born in the desert won't have Kedushas Bechor. It's that simple. Also, so the Gemara says the day that the Mishkan was actually set up in the Midbar, so they offered all karbanos. Neder, nedav, chatos, asham. No. Hachinami, but osan shiyatsu mimitzrayim. So the Gemara says, no, those people that actually left Egypt. So omina osa yamhu dekarv mikan ve'elach lo karv. The Gemara says, in fact, read it carefully. That day they offered, meaning because from that day forward, they didn't. Ikadam Ezra Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Now here we're going to go over the same give and take again, just the other direction. Also, Ayam Shu Kama Mishkan Kavalam Yisrael and the Dharma Davis Chatos Veshamas Bechos Masos Oso Ayam in Mikan Ve'elach Lo. Only that day, 90 forward. Ema May Oso Vayom Ve'elach. And then Rav Yochanan's counter argument is no. From that day forward. Umay Kamashma May Oso Ayam in Mikara Lo. Ama Chovas Bamama Lo Karav. And the point is that the whole point of that statement was you weren't able to offer a chova prior to the Mishkan, because prior to that there was only bamas, and you're not to offer obligatory karbanos on a bama. Let's do one more tashma. Nim says ata omer b'shloshim mekamos kasher b'choros Yisrael. Here we have, I guess we'll call it a braisa, three places where b'chor was sanctified: b'Mitzrayim, b'Midbar, uchnisasam Yisrael la'aretz. B'Mitzrayim, Ma'u Omer, in Egypt, they were sanctified Kadesh L'Kol B'chor B'Midbar, who Omer Ki L'Kol B'chor B'Vnei Yisrael, B'Chnisa Sam La'aretz, who Ayah Omer V'Ayah Ki V'Yachah V'Avarta. Three places they were sanctified. Amar Abnachem V'Yitzchak B'Shloshim Mekamos Yisrael B'choros L'Kadesh V'Lo Kiddushu. So the Gemara's answer in defense of Reish Lakish is, the mitzvah is mentioned three times, but they weren't actually sanctified until they got into Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, but that's not correct. What do you mean? When we left Egypt, the whole point of leaving Egypt is that the Bechoros were sanctified. Hachikamar. Mehem kachu, or mehem lo kachu. So the Gemara says, some places they were sanctified, i.e. Egypt and Israel, and some places they were not actually sanctified, i.e. the Midbar. At this point in time, we'll stop now. At this point in time, we leave ourselves off in a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. What of the Jews that were born in the desert? As we have it presented right now, Rav Yochanan says they were sanctified, and Reish Lakish says no, they were not sanctified. And Reish Lakish's basis is on the pasuk Vayah Ki V'Yacha.
Is a brit mila required for sanctification?
No, it doesn't. No. And tomorrow, what we'll get to see is a refinement of the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and a modification. We'll modify the whole machlokas. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up.